we haven't been introduced before, my name is David Guzik, and I'm so happy to be with you here today. Because look, you got to admit, this is the best day, the best place, and I got the best message ever to give you. It's that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Or as Christians have been saying for centuries, you know this, and I'm going to let you respond. We did it once before, but let's do it again. He is risen. Man, you guys are good. Did you know Christians have been saying that to one another for centuries? Because it's true. Jesus Christ actually rose from the dead. And ladies and gentlemen, if you've never heard the story before, I want to tell it to you all over again. Jesus of Nazareth, who is God the Son and the Son of God, he lived among us. And he lived 30 years as an obscure, simple life in our midst. But then he lived 3 years of a remarkable ministry where he healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He helped the poor and the needy. And Jesus of Nazareth preached a message of love, of forgiveness, and reconciliation like no one else ever has presented. And he also boldly confronted religious hypocrisy and corruption. But Jesus was arrested on false charges. He was convicted by a corrupt court, and he was sentenced to death by a judge who knew that he was innocent. Yet they crucified Jesus as if he was a criminal. And on that cross, God the Father set upon Jesus all the sin, all the guilt, all the shame that our sin deserved. And he judged it in Jesus on that hill called Calvary. Jesus was then buried in a rich man's tomb, and 3 days later, he came forth from that tomb as risen, as resurrected, and as restored from death. That's the great news that we have. See, friends, it's really an amazing story. The religious professors opposed him. The governor condemned him. The crowds rejected him. His disciples deserted him. The authorities whipped him. Everyone mocked him. The soldiers nailed him. The thieves cursed him. The women mourned him. 2 rich men buried him, and Roman guards watched him. But God the Father raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And it's true. It happened. It happened in time and in space. It happened on a day on the calendar some 2,000 years ago. The truth of its history, but the message of it, the meaning of it, ladies and gentlemen, that's something that you and I and our entire world needs to hear today more than ever. Because think of what we got to deal with in our world today. We got bombings in Brussels. We got constant war and difficulty in the Middle East. And because of that, we got thousands, even hundreds of thousands of refugees fleeing there and going to Europe and making all kinds of changes that we don't even know what's going to happen with that. Right here in the United States, you know, there's chaos in our politics. But on a personal level, there's a lot of pain in the present. There's a lot of unexpected tragedy and accidents that happen all around us. Murders in our own community, tragic deaths that happen right around us, but even more so, there's fear for the future. But the good news is this, the risen Jesus Christ gives us in him the ability to be like that lighthouse that endures the most severe storms. We can be safe and sound in him. I don't know what it's like for us today. I don't know what it's like in this sense. By many objective proofs, statistics that you can look up, you can do the search on the internet and find out that by many measures, we live longer than we've ever lived before. We're healthier than we ever have been before. We got more opportunity than we ever have before. The future's brighter for our children than ever before. But you and I know we don't feel like it, do we? That for many of us, there's just sort of this shadow of doom off in the distance. We see the world as getting crazier and crazier, and people are looking for answers. But friends, I want to tell you this, that Jesus lived and died in a world with many more problems than our own. Don't think that the times that Jesus lived were some kind of magical good old days when everything was good and now things have declined. No, by a lot of measures, the world was much worse. Yet Jesus had the assurance and the confidence of a winner, of a conqueror. We already mentioned it once before, but I don't mind mentioning it again. Before Jesus went to the cross, he spoke with his disciples and he told them so many important things, but I'm just gonna isolate one sentence that Jesus told his disciples on that night before he would be crucified. It's recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 33. Listen carefully as I read it to you. Jesus looked at his disciples and he said this on the night before he would be crucified. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And when you think of those words of Jesus on the night before his crucifixion saying, I have overcome the world, he's proclaiming the truth of his victory. But ladies and gentlemen, in less than 24 hours, Jesus was going to look like the ultimate loser. He was going to look like someone who was beaten and unjustly put to death. Yet Jesus overcame. He overcame in his life. He overcame in his death. And especially he overcame in his resurrection. You see, when Jesus said, I've overcome the world, that was an amazing statement from a man who was about to go to the cross. He was about to be arrested, forsaken, mocked, rejected, tortured, and executed. But when he said, I have overcome the world, it was all true. Do you understand that no one who opposed Jesus won? Did Judas win? Did Pilate win? Did the religious authorities set against him win? Did the crowd that shouted, crucify him win? Or the soldiers? Or even death itself that set itself against Jesus? Nobody who opposed Jesus won. Jesus emerged as the victor. I want you to notice something about those words. When Jesus spoke to his disciples, he said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. He didn't tell his disciples, you have overcome the world. Now, he wanted to comfort them and strengthen them. That's why he said, be of good cheer. But the cheer wasn't in their being overcomers, but in their being overcomers in Jesus. It was his victory. And this is the great news for us. Please listen carefully to this, friends. The message of Jesus today is not just some kind of cheer up. The message of Jesus isn't today just try harder in some way. No, this is what Jesus says to you today. Jesus says, my victory can be your victory. He knew that his victory would be theirs. And so when Jesus went to the cross, not as a victim, but as a conqueror, and by the way, the empty tomb is the evidence of that triumph. It's his trophy. It's his memorial. It's the irrefutable evidence that his enemies and sin and death could not defeat him. But when Jesus had his victory at the empty tomb, it is our victory as well. Now, the first followers of Jesus, they all understood this. They understood. They saw Jesus go to the cross. They knew what it was like for a man to be crucified. And they knew that when Jesus went to the cross, he went about as low as a man could go. But when he rose from the dead, he was not just resuscitated to life, but he was raised to a new order of life, never to die again. Do you understand that? That nothing could harm the resurrected Jesus. Nothing at all. He was invulnerable. He was safe and sound. And now he offers that same safety and security to everyone who will respond to him in faith. Now, if you Google the phrase safe and sound, you'll get 486 million results back. Don't do it now. Just take my word for it. What does the phrase even mean, safe and sound? Well, it means out of danger, that's the safe part. And it also means in healthy condition, that's the sound part. But did you know that that phrase, safe and sound, comes to us from the lips of Jesus? Did you even know that? It's a phrase from the Bible. Every time you've used that phrase, you've been quoting the Bible without even knowing it. You know, there's a lot of phrases like that in the English language. We say, bite the dust, the blind leading the blind, a drop in the bucket, rise and shine. We don't realize that those are all Bible phrases. And every time you use it, you're giving testimony to the amazing influence of the Bible and Jesus Christ upon our culture. But that phrase, safe and sound is used in the Gospel of Luke chapter 15. Now, Luke chapter 15 is a wonderful chapter in the Bible. Jesus speaking in Luke 15 tells the story of lost and found in three different parts. First, Jesus tells the story of a lost sheep. Can you picture that in your mind, a lost sheep? Now, that lost sheep was only 1 out of 100. The 99 were saved, but that one lost sheep, the shepherd cared so much about that one lost sheep that he went out to seek and to find and to rescue that one lost sheep. Ladies and gentlemen, you may be that lost sheep right here this morning. You have been under the shepherd's care at some time or another, but you've wandered off. And now, right here this morning, Jesus is here to meet you, to rescue you. And so Jesus says in Luke chapter 15, verse 7, he says, in the same way, heaven will be happier over one lost sinner who returns to God than 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. God is so happy when people come to him. Then Jesus told a second story about lost and found. The second story was about a lost coin. A woman lost a valuable coin, and she looked for it everywhere. And when she found it, she was so happy. Some of you are like that lost coin. You are of great value, but you're lost. When you're lost, you're not being implemented to proper use. When you're lost, it's as if your value is there, but it's of no account. Jesus Christ has come to rescue you and to find you and to restore you to your true value before him. And that's why he says in Luke chapter 15, verse 10, in the same way, there's joy in the presence of God, God's angels, when even one sinner repents. And then there's the third story in Luke chapter 15. That's the story of the lost son. A father lost his son. The son rebelled against the father, and the son went out and lived a crazy life. And his crazy life got him nowhere except broke, hungry, and sad. And then one day, that lost son came to his senses, and he realized that it would be better for him to go home and just work for his dad, much less live as a son. And so when the prodigal son came home to his father, Jesus described the story like this, and now I'm reading to you from Luke chapter 15, verse 27. He describes it like this, and these were the words of Jesus. He has received him safe and sound, and the father has killed the fatted calf. And that was a sign of celebration. Ladies and gentlemen, that whole term safe and sound, it comes from the story of the prodigal son. That when you return to your father, when you come by Jesus, when you let the good shepherd rescue you, when you let yourself be like the lost coin that's found again, you come back into God's kingdom as safe and sound. And that's a good message for everybody here this morning. You can come home to your father in heaven, and he will receive you safe and sound. Now, the invitation of Jesus is true. In one moment, you can pass from darkness to light, from guilty to innocent, from empty to filled, from chained to sin to free in Jesus Christ. You can look away from sin and self. The Bible calls that repentance. But you can look away from sin and self, and you can look unto Jesus right now. You can receive him. What does it mean to receive him? Well, it means to accept what he did on the cross to make you right with God. To stop trying to make yourself right with God by religious observance or good works, but trust in what Jesus did for you. Secondly, it means to accept the power of the resurrected Jesus to transform your life. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the great message of God is this. He loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you the way you are. He wants to come in with his beautiful, transforming, blessing life or power in your life. Now, I recognize that some of you have heard this before. Some of you have sat through something like this, and you've said this before. You said, you know, I really need to do something like that. I need to do it sometime, but not today. That's ever been you, I'm here to tell you, today is your day to recognize the risen Jesus as real in your life and to surrender your life to him. I'm not asking you to sign a membership card. I'm not asking you to join a political party. I'm asking you to put your faith in the real resurrected Jesus. And you can put your faith in Jesus right now. You can say, Jesus, I believe in you. I trust in you. I rest in what you did on the cross to make me right with God. I receive you as my Lord and God, and I surrender my life to you. In just a few minutes, I'm going to ask you, if you want to make a decision for Jesus Christ today, if you want to profess your faith in him, I'm going to ask you to stand up from your seat, to walk down one of these aisles, and to come forward to demonstrate your faith and to make a new beginning of life with God. I'm going to ask you to do that in just a moment. But before I do that, I want to pray. And I'm going to pray that God brings many people to faith and new life and to know that they are loved and that they are safe and sound in Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, God loves you enough to give you a decision to accept him or reject him. He's not looking for robots to follow him. He's looking for people who will love him freely and surrender their lives. And that needs to be you, and it needs to be me, who come to him in those terms of humble surrender. And I would just give you my earnest plea. Don't walk away from here rejecting Jesus. And if I could, I want to give a special plea this morning to young people. Let me explain to you why. Because it was 40 years ago this year on Easter Sunday that I gave my life to Jesus Christ. 40 years ago, in Riverside, California, a man named Greg Laurie was preaching on a Sunday evening. And I heard the message and I knew that it was true. And I knew that I had to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. And I did that as a young man. I was only 13 years old at the time. And I am so happy that I gave the young years of my life to God and let him have this influence over me. So please understand, I'm not trying to exclude any of us who are older here. You're not too old. But I want to give a special plea to those who are younger. Why not give the young and strongest years of your life to God's kingdom and to God's glory? So I'm going to pray right now, ask that God would bring many to new faith and new life, and I'm going to invite you to express that faith, that decision. So please, Christians, now pray as I pray, and let's come before the Lord. Father in heaven, first of all, we just say thank you for raising your son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. Thank you that you've given us a new measure of your love at the cross and a new measure of your power at the empty tomb. And now, Jesus, we pray that that love and that power would do as it's done millions of times before, that it would stretch across the centuries, that it would stretch across the continents. And Lord, right here, in Santa Barbara, California, that your love and your power would be so present here and call many to make a decision for Jesus Christ.